Hey guys, this is Javier Sinoas with another episode of Low Notes. I hope you guys enjoy.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah.
Good. Finally.
It's still light here, as you can see.
Oh yeah, we're dark here. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. You have no idea how much this really means to us. We are huge followers and huge fans. So let me get that out of the way.
Thank you. Thanks. Means a lot to me too.
Awesome. So, all right. So one of the things that I wanted to, I read a little bit about you. I mean, not a little bit, pretty much your entire website, but one of the things that we've been talking a lot is like, you obviously have a great background in jazz music, and you actually study, you have a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in it. But when do you know that was, that first and foremost, when do you know that music was it for you? When you realize, okay, I need to be a musician, I have to be a musician.
Well, I like to always say that I became interested in music while I was in my mother's belly, going through an embryogenesis. That means when my ears were evolved, because my mom put like earphones over her belly and played me Vivaldi. But like during high school, I mean, I've played music literally all my life since I was like 3 or something. But basically the decision to actually pursue a professional career was when I touched the electric bass and decided that, or just felt, you know, totally madly fell in love with the instrument. And I knew that this is like my only way of going forward in this life.
Right.
So, because I, you know, I played like classical violin before that.
Right.
But during that time at high school, I was thinking about like actually going into like being a forest ranger or something, doing something in the nature, you know, being in the nature.
Nice.
Until I touched bass guitar. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, because you're big into nature. I mean, your posts are beautiful. I loved your, when you went to Peru. That was awesome to see you post so much. I'm actually from Venezuela. I'm a little bit north of Peru. Yeah. I can totally see that, you know, nature, you're very nature driven. You mentioned something there. You were classically trained in violin.
Yeah.
And how was that transition from the violin to the bass?
Well, to me, it wasn't that hard. I'm very grateful to my classical background because it really taught me discipline, which mm-hmm. obviously was a good thing, is a good thing, you know, in terms of practicing and all that. But like, I mean, there's even like this funny story of me going from violin to a bass. My first bass guitar that I ever bought was a 5-string fretless.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know anything about basses when I bought the bass. It was like a Cort Curbo 5-string. And then I go to this music store and I see this beautiful red bass. And I'm like, that's the one.
So I
played it for like 3 months. And then a friend of mine goes, wow, this is so cool that you're playing fretless. And I'm like, what's that? So, you know, violin doesn't have any frets.
Right.
So to me, it was like a very natural thing. You know, it was just going from very high pitch to a very low pitch.
That's hilarious because for us
low
mortals,
frequencies. Yeah.
You're right. Frequencies. For us, you know, fret is like where we start, not the other way around, typically.
Exactly.
That's funny. My favorite piece of your, I mean, I like the whole new album, Metamorphosis. I love
Thank
it.
You.
I think you guys did a phenomenal job.
Thank
but
you.
My favorite one is Palos Verdes Blues.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Is that a fretless bass you use there?
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God, I just love the bending of the notes and the warmth of the tone.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's a song that we wrote right there in the studio. Like I had this idea, you know, I had just kind of the bass groove, and then I went to the studio and I was like, guys, let's write a song together. So they came up with the melody and some of the harmony structure. Right. So, and then we recorded it right there, and now it's on the album. So it's kind of cool.
I'm envious. That's amazing that you guys can do that. I'm super envious of that.
Thank you.
And the whole groove is actually, it's an amazing groove. I mean, from the drums, it's got that push behind it, you know, it's a nice groove. The guitarist just absolutely kills it as well. I mean,
it's an amazing band.
It is. Are you guys touring the US anytime soon?
Well, I'm kind of trying to get us here, but it's hard. Because besides, you know, like touring costs here, you also have to get like flight tickets and all that stuff. So, and since I'm a freelancer and I'm, you know, I'm the banker, the arranger, the composer, the bass player, the promoter, the manager, producer, also the psychiatrist, it's sometimes very overwhelming. So once I get someone to help me, that tour might actually happen.
That would be awesome. I wish I was of any help, but I am neither of any of those things. I just wow, that's all. Well, that's great. I mean, you're knee deep into it. I mean, it's in it. You can kind of see the progression from Love. I think it was your first album, right? Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing journey. You guys have, I think you've done a really good job, sonically speaking. And it sounds so good. It sounds so natural. I can jam to it all day. So yeah.
Thanks so much.
Well, if you guys ever make it, I'm sure you will at some point in time here to the US, I would absolutely love to go see you guys.
I hope so. I'm actually thinking about that with the previous recording that I had, which was actually my own project here in the US with US musicians. Mike Landau, Greg Lease, Gary Novak, and myself, that it was kind of a beginning of a new era in terms of like not closing the door to the past, because I still want to play with my old bands and stuff, but just kind of opening a new door here and making myself not scared. Scared,
right?
Or just admitting that it's time for me to do something here, you know? Because like Charles Lloyd, when he heard that I'm bringing my sweet, my Swedish band to US to record, he was like, what? That's like bringing sand to the beach.
That's true, particularly where you are. I mean, you're surrounded. Yeah.
So I decided this time to just like grab the horn from its bull, grab the bull from its horns and do something here. Yeah.
So is that what you were doing a couple of days ago, that that you were recording three new songs in the studio?
Yeah, exactly.
As you can tell, I do follow you.
I can tell. Okay. Thank you.
I mean, Gary Novak, my goodness, that's, and Greg as well. I was actually listening to some of the stuff that he was doing. I think it was a YouTube video, and man,
He's playing like on like 1,500 records, like all our favorite records, you know, even if we don't know that he's there, he's probably there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, seriously, from like Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson to Joni Mitchell and Charles Lloyd and Eric Clapton and, you know, God knows who,
right.
But he's there, and doesn't matter that he's my husband, you know, I'm a huge fan of his work,
right.
You know, what he's done and how much he has given to the world with his music. And I don't know anyone so talented, so gifted, and yet mm-hmm. so humble and sweet and kind, you know.
You know what? That does come across a lot on the things that I see of him. He tends to like stay in the background, and it's not about him. It's about, you know, he seems very humble. And he can tear that guitar. Yeah.
Exactly. And so he's inspiring me to be like that. And, you know, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. So
that's true. Yeah. Not everybody can be nice while they're being important. You're right. You're absolutely right. So
we've all met assholes.
Say what again? I'm sorry.
We've all met those assholes.
They're around us everywhere. Yeah. And you know, it's all about what we... So are you going to do anything live, like a recording live with your piece? Because I know, I mean, the last one was all studio, and what you do in the studio, are you thinking about possibly doing something like once you have enough material to do it live, or are you intending to keep it?
You mean that thing with Landau and Novak, mm-hmm. and Greg?
Right.
Well, actually, yeah, when Cross heard the stuff, he was like, you got to take this band on the road. And of course, I'd love to, you know, but the more complicated thing is that I'm still kind of making my way here in the United States, you know. I'm kind of an immigrant.
Me too.
Which means that I haven't been on this music scene for, you know, 20 years, and still trying to make my name and all that stuff. So that said, you know, I don't have a person to work for me, and in that case, like, organizing a tour can be pretty hard, mm-hmm. Because most people, they don't even answer your emails, and that's really discouraging, you know. It's like, even in Europe, where I'm maybe more known, it's hard. So here, it's probably like 10 times harder, you know, but I'll definitely want to play with these guys, because I mean, Mike Landau, Greg East, Gary Novak, oh my God, like, this is a dream, right?
Yeah, what not to love. Yeah, we would love to go see you. I know you're on the other end of the country, but we would definitely would love to see you.
Yeah, look, the sun is still up here.
I know. One of my best friends lives in Temecula, not too far away from you guys. And and I went over there to visit him, and the weather is perfect. Not a single mosquito. We hiked for hours, and not a single bug. It was great. It was an awesome weather. Here is all muggy, and today's 70. Tomorrow's gonna be 45. So it's,
yeah,
God knows what. So
I was there actually, and I went to Fodera shop in Brooklyn.
I saw that.
about a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, you don't really know what clothes to wear. Like, should you bring like your winter fur or like bikinis, you know?
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much.
Gotta have it all.
Yeah, and then we wonder why people are get so sick all the time. And it's like, you know, good, it's terrible.
So where are you guys located? You're in
North Carolina. We're in a small town that probably you saw on the news a couple of years ago. We had a big hurricane go through Florence. We're in a small town called New Bern.
Mm-hmm.
We were like all over CNN and Fox and all the big mm-hmm. outlets. We're 30-40 minutes from the beach. We're a hidden gem. Like really not a lot of people know about our town. But there's a it's very peaceful. Has a lot of history and local history. And there's the community, the music or the musician community here is incredibly supported, and they love seeing local, not only local talent as musicians, but also, you know, new enterprises that support the local basis particularly. So we're blessed because everybody around us, I mean, honestly, the entire community, the basis community in the U.S. and even in like Spain, where I have family in Spain and South America, and a lot of people are following the brand, and the just like yourself, you know, the community really embraces a new face. Maybe, you know, we're not the big game names, but we're trying to make our way into it, and the support is overwhelming. Yeah. So.
Well, that's the thing that I love, that when people can, you know, put all the competition and envy and jealousy behind and actually just like support each other, you know, because that's not going to take anything away from you, but might mean a lot to that other person, you know.
Absolutely.
So support just shows so much strength, and I love to say this, you know, but we rise by lifting others. So
absolutely. Yeah, I love your post a couple of weeks back, and that you're absolutely right. I mean, and I think I texted you this, but I remember the day we launched our Instagram account, and you were probably like the first five people that follow the brand. And mm-hmm. I gotta be honest, I freaked out, and I was like, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for it. I don't know what kind of content we're gonna be putting over here, but the support. You're right. I mean, the support has been great, and people have really helped us lift off. And what I try to do with our artists, because now we have artists that are local, some artists that are, you know, on your side of the country, that we're sponsoring. What we're trying to do is use however small our platform is, use our platform to project them as well. You know, my brand will follow. You know, what's important is that we support each other and they do the same. So it's great to be part of the, and that's one of our core beliefs, is that we want to be part of music, not the music scene, but music, and in any way that we can promote music, then that's great. That's part of our core.
That's right, because we speak the same language, music.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish I had a tenth of your talent. I enjoy enough listening.
Now you're just buttering my toast.
So about Fodera, they're unbelievable instruments. Those guitars are just.
Yeah, they're incredible.
They're a piece of art. I mean, those are the kinds of guitars that are going to make it. You know, you kind of have to think twice to play it. You have to really know your thing to play them. And I saw you selecting the wood of your bass. What kind of wood did you select?
It's so funny, but there are so many things in my life where you look back and you're like, wow, this is like hand of destiny, you know. So like some meetings in life, etc. But basically with the wood was that they just like posted the day before I was supposed to go to the shop and said, like, we have this rare spalted walnuts top wood available. So like everybody just, you know, like if anybody wants to reserve this wood, you know, give us an email. And the moment I saw that wood, I was like, oh my God, that's the one. Mm-hmm. And then I just like said, like, I need this. The day after I went to the shop, you know, they were like, well, there it is, you know. But it's like those kind of woods are so rare to come in, you know.
Right.
And the fact that it was right there at that time when I needed it, it's kind of incredible. So I went for a mahogany body, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, they use that a lot. Alder tone block, ebony fingerboard, and all, what did I say?
That's going to look beautiful.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's going to be a six string, so it's going to definitely open doors for me, and I can, you know, I'm never going to be a big of a slapper, tapper, mm-hmm. Shredder, you know, but in terms of, and I'm also not going to become a guitar player. I'll still be a bass player most of the time.
Right.
But in, you know, it's still gonna bring in more colors and excuse me, what is the subject? We're talking about bass guitars and bass amps and gear.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a very exciting time, but it's gonna take about like half a year until the instrument is ready.
Right.
So it's just about being patient.
Absolutely. Do you, you already have, I don't know I've seen several of your guitars, but are you basically mostly a Fodera guitarist?
Yes. I mean, my Fodera jazz bass is my main workhorse, mm-hmm. but also it was the same thing with Fodera. The way they came into my life was just like kind of miraculous moment. You know, I have been dreaming about playing their basses. When I moved to US, I was just, oh my God, if, you know, I could get a Fodera bass. And, but you know, you have to be patient. That's the main thing, that you probably will have other offers on the road. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it's kind of important to stay true to yourself and wonder that, do you just want to get like free shit, or do you want to get something that you really believe in?
That's what I was going to ask you, right?
You know, so I have been really patient. And while I was making my record Metamorphosis, that has, you know, the butterfly theme, you know, changing from a caterpillar into a butterfly.
Right.
All of a sudden I get this email from Fodera and they're like, we really love your work, and you know,
how about that?
Would you like to be our artist? I was like, oh my God.
Right. It's, you know, now that I'm a butterfly, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how it started. And before I knew it, I had like their bass in my mail, and I took it on my next Crosby tour.
Right.
Relationship.
I was gonna ask you, I'm sorry.
No, nothing. Just said that this relationship is really beautiful. They're like wonderful people, really wonderful, very passionate about their instruments and the relationship with their clients. You know, mm-hmm. they're not just the factory that's just, you know, here's a, you know, instruments, but they're actually, you can pretty much customize everything, you know, for your hands, everything.
Right.
So, that's incredible.
So, you know, I'm sure you can get just about, you know, anybody sponsoring you at this point. But, you know, I agree. I mean, I think if it is something that you believe in their product, whether behind your kind of who they are as an organization, and that's what suits you, then, you know, you'll definitely be in there for a while. So.
Yeah. That is the main thing. Like, would you want to promote something that you got for free, and then you, then like making an Instagram post is just like such a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. But when you actually are not even thinking about the endorsement, but you're really in love with your Instagram, then you make a post and you're actually really sincere about it. You're not doing it because you have to, but because you really want to. You know what I mean?
Right.
So my lease is not sad. My lease is very happy. Maybe a little sleepy. I just got out from the sun. But
I see that with the small community that we have here, with our bait, our players, you can tell which ones are the ones that just want free stuff. And which ones are the ones that, you know, are truly humble, and they are very interested in actually helping the brand grow. It's not about them getting some free stuff. It's about, hey, I believe in this new brand, and I'm going to try to help it grow. So it's pretty interesting to hear you from the other end as a musician, you know, have similar experience as well.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there are other kind of people. I mean, I know that Fajera probably gets like hundreds of emails every day when people want to have their add something to their collection or whatever, you know, but that's not the point, you know, when you when you have a relationship like that, it's so much more than just getting free shit. It's the friendship. It's mutual respect,
right?
It's like you work for something together, you know. They help you, mm-hmm. and you help, you know, to promote their stuff.
Absolutely. I was talking to Tim Lefebvre, Rachel's husband, earlier last week. I think it was when we sat down and talked. And I told him I'm going to have my lease on the Instagram interview. He's like, you should get her to play your stuff. I'm like, dude, she's like EBS. And I mean, I'm respectful of that. You know, I mean, I would absolutely love for you to play our stuff, but I understand, you know, that I'm not trying to push anything here. So,
well, yeah, but that's the thing that I'm, you know, this EBS relationship goes like so way back, but that doesn't mean that I can't help you, right? So.
Right. Well, it's same here. And whatever little I can do, I will do the best that I can. That's all I can promise you. So, if you're ever in that area and up there in California, I think you're pretty close to them. I mean, Tim has an amazing. We made it just specifically for him because he plays some really funky, you know. Jazz and very low tone stuff, but he's going to tour with that one with the Black Crowes this summer. So
actually, I think I saw it because we rehearsed at Rachel's house.
Okay.
When I performed at the Bass Bash this
year. Wait a second, you saw my amp?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah.
Life is complete for me.
It was there.
Awesome.
Beautiful. Good. It looks good. Thank you. I didn't play through it, but it looked good. Stylish. Thank you. Elegant.
Thank you. Yeah, he picked all he did a great job picking the combination of colors and everything. That was all his idea. We just modified the volume inside of the cabinet and made it, and you know, big enough and thick enough to handle, because he was telling me about a problem that he was having with some other product, and so we had to modify that, but the looks is, it's all him. He did that.
Cool.
Good. Thank you for acknowledging it. So Rachel and Gary and you, is that a thing? Are you guys gonna pursue something there musically?
Well, I have a feeling that Gary Novak and I are gonna play a lot of music in this life together, because there's like this very special, you know, like bass. Right. Player, drummer pocket that's happening.
Right.
And
I was going to say, how strange that, right? A drummer and a bassist getting,
Well, it can also be a disaster. But yeah, Rachel is absolutely incredible. She's so talented and very fun person to hang out with. So I definitely would love to play more with her in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes, you know, but I think we're both open to it, so.
Right, and you do a lot of collaborations, right?
Yeah, I try to be open to stuff. Yeah, as much as I have time between the tours and, like I said, being the composer, arranger, banker, etc.
So. The one that got me is when you say psychiatrist. I'm like, oh, wow. Can you imagine those conversations? Awesome. That's good. So one thing I was going to ask you about genres, because you're obviously classically trained in Stockholm. Were you like focused 100% in jazz, or did you have a chance to expand in other genres? I mean, I would assume that you would like jam to a song and you know, if you heard something that you like, but I don't know how much on genre play are you have you done, I guess, throughout your musical career?
I think it's important to stay open to everything and kind of distance yourself from the labeling as like this is pop and this is country and that's this and that. It's mostly like whether the music really touches you, you know, if it's a good song, but it's like bluegrass, you know, I still want to play it. Or what if it's a extremely good song, but it's considered house music or trance or whatever, you know. It's the same, like I grew up playing classical music, then I went on to pursue jazz music. And why jazz was because that genre just goes like way deep into the harmonies and rhythms and all that stuff. So you could bring those colors into whatever music you want to play. But at the same time, while I was like studying jazz, I was listening to like Crosby, Stills and Nash, you know, like rock or folk or singer-songwriter stuff, you know. And maybe that's why I started getting more work, was because I started bringing in more colors than maybe, you know, that someone that's only considered a pop bass player or a rock bass player, and I just brought in something more, you know, something more interesting.
Right.
So, and oh my God, I toured Scandinavia with like some badass pop stars. And then the next summer I went on the road with like a American country artist, you know.
That's amazing.
So, and then I did my own stuff, which is like jazz fusion. So I think it's like labels are good, you know, to kind of put stuff in the boxes. But as a musician, you kind of have to come out of those boxes and just play whatever makes you happy and follow your own bliss, you know, whatever that is.
How do you find your sound in that genre? I mean, I think that, it's not, I guess that you're naturally, your tone is natural. So, but how do you determine how to sound, how to make your instrument sound depending on the genre? Is that something that you pick up from listening to that music and kind of try to fit or prearrange?
So I'm pretty like trusting my instincts, you know, and also by just listening to a lot of different types of music, you know. So like when I play with my own band, it's like I make my sound a little more jazzy, a little more bright, cutting through, kind of playing with the bridge pickup, you know, like kind of Jaco style.
Yeah.
Maybe when I play with singer-songwriters, I don't know, with Jackson or Cross, I try to kind of more melt into the band, you know, not to be so, what do you call, like, not to be like a solo artist, but actually just be the foundation of the band and be the solid root that other instruments can build on, you know. So that I wouldn't like kind of be on anyone's nerves, you know. So I guess, I think it's, yeah, to me, it's like more like an instinct. I'll find
it. You'll find it. I know you're busy and I know you have a life, so, but I have just two more things that I wanted to ask you is.
All right.
So you work with Paul McCartney at some point in time.
I did not work with him. I met him.
You met him. Okay.
I met him while I was rehearsing with Crosby.
And how was that experience?
It was something I will never, ever forget. And mostly for the reason because it was, I had just moved to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first rehearsal with David Crosby, who I had admired so mm-hmm. much. To be there in his band, you know. And then all of a sudden, we were playing a song. I was doing something on Fretless, so I was obviously really busy. I'm like checking what's happening on my fingerboard and intonation. And after we finished the song, someone asked me, like, oh, did you see him? Paul McCartney was like, looked between the door. I was like, no, I didn't see that. Like, holy shit. So anyway, we started playing the song again. And all of a sudden, like, whole Paul McCartney band, like, just like, ding, 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 walk into the room and sit down on the couches in front of us. So they like checked us out, our rehearsal, and oh my god, like I was playing Fretless and I had like a very natural vibrato because my knees were trembling so much. And then Paul came to say hi to everybody and I was like so nervous, you know. And he just patted me on my back and gave me a hug and he was like he was so sweet, you know. He could be a total asshole because of who he is, right? But he's not.
Right.
And that's what makes him so beautiful, such an amazing person, that he made me feel like I'm equal to him, you know, mm-hmm. that he's in no way superior to me just because he's Paul McCartney, you know.
Right.
But he made me feel, you know, that, oh, come on, we're both bass players. You don't need to tremble, you know. He was
You're
so
like, true. Right. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I walk into
that
you
evening,
every day.
He gave me two hugs, and then when my husband came to pick me up, I was like, don't rub it off.
Like, this is the shirt that he gave me a hug with. Yeah,
exactly.
That guy's I'm left-handed. So like obviously growing up, and I'm a big Beatles fan and Paul McCartney's
Well,
fan.
The next day he invited us to see his rehearsal. So I actually got to see him play like, you know, 2 feet away from me. Amazing. Amazing.
It had to be. And that's awesome. I mean, I'm envious. I'm envious of the fact that envious in a good way, not in a bad way, not in an ill way, but it's like, it's amazing the experiences that you guys have as musicians, being able to collaborate with each other and use your position to empower others and help others.
Well, sometimes when I think about my life and how things have happened, I'm envious of myself.
You realize how lucky you've been or how, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean... it was supposed to be a joke, but the thing is that I know that nothing has happened overnight, and I know how much work and sleepless nights and blood, sweat, and tears I've put into it. You know, nobody has brought anything to me on a golden plate.
Right.
It's been lots of hard work and lots of not giving up at times where I've wanted to give up. It's been a lot of self-doubt and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now when things are actually happening, I can't even imagine becoming an asshole just because mm-hmm. those things are happening in my life. It's like rather the opposite. I'm so.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Low Notes. I hope you enjoyed it.